The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible and go back, if you will. Thank you, ladies. And let's look at it together one more time in Psalm 137 and verse 4, where the Bible says, "How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" Now understand, the Israelites are in a strange land, and here's the question: how can we sing in a strange land? By the way, you and I are just passing through. This is not our home, and so how in the world can you and I sing in a strange land? And so we're going to talk tonight about how have you lost your song? Have you lost your song? I think that we as God's people ought never to lose our song. But there is times in our life when we go through valleys. There's times in our life when we go through trials. There's times in our life when we face temptations. There's times in our life when all of a sudden we find ourselves in despair, not knowing what to do. And what do you do during those times? I want to give you some times that some, if you're not careful, some of these times could cause you to lose your song. Let me give you just a couple of them tonight. Statement number one, did persecution discourage your singing? Did persecution discourage your singing? Here's what the Bible teaches over in Matthew chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. The Bible says, "And he received the seed into stony places, and the same as he that heareth the word," and now the Bible says, "with joy receiveth it." All right, so here's the word of God. It's being sown into stony places, but with great joy it was received. Then the Bible says in verse 21, the Bible says, "Yet he hath not rooted," it says, "or he hath not root in himself, but," it says, "doreth for a while, and when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." All right? So when you get offended, when all of a sudden now there's persecution that comes your way, it can discourage your singing. I never will forget the very first letter that I wrote home when I was in Bible college, and I wrote home just really telling Mom and Dad what was going on, and I was just so excited about how God was working in my life. It was my first year at Bible college, and I was just so excited and really wanted to share what God was doing in my life. And so I wrote a letter home to Mom and Daddy, and when I wrote that letter home, all of a sudden it was tore up, and I don't know if it was red or not, but it was tore up, and it was placed in an envelope, and it was sent back, and on the outside of the envelope it said, "You're no longer my son." Well, I did not understand that. Later on I found out, of course, that our priest, that was the priest of the of course the church that I'd gone to for so many years coming up as a Roman Catholic boy, had gone by the house and wanted to excommunicate me from the church. My daddy said, "That's ridiculous. You can't excommunicate that boy. He's already gone." But had convinced my parents that I had joined up with a cult, and I was now attending a Baptist church, and it was a cult, and so therefore they were convinced of that, and for some time they decided not to receive me back. Now, thank God that changed. Thank God that when Mom and Daddy went home to be with the Lord, we had a great relationship. Thank God both of them received the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Thank God today they're walking the street of gold, beside the gate of pearl, the walls of jasper. They're in heaven, name written forever in the book of life. Nobody could take it away from them because they received Christ as Savior. Now, I thank God for that, but during those times when those letters came back, I tell you what, I felt pretty lonely. I mean, I just felt like my world was shattered. I just felt like, wow. Wow, you know, here I am, I'm on my own island, and I'm all by myself, and now my relatives won't talk to me, my mom and daddy won't talk to me, my brothers won't have anything to do with me for now, and boy, I just felt like that I was all alone in my own private world. Now, can I tell you, I felt just a little bit persecuted, and sometimes if I focused on that, it was hard to sing when I was thinking about what I was going through. And if you're not careful, here's what will happen. When all of a sudden you feel persecuted, it will discourage you from singing. You'll get discouraged about singing. Now be careful. Salvation does bring persecution. Service does bring persecution. Separation does bring persecution. Obeying the scriptures does bring persecution. But what do? You reach down deep inside and get a song in your heart. David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, not because he lost his salvation, but he lost the joy. And so he goes to God and he says, God, I need for you to restore the joy of my salvation. Now, God is the one and the only one that can give you joy. He's the only one that can do that. So all of a sudden, when the joy is gone, now stay with me, when the joy is gone, you have to go to the joy giver. Who is the joy giver? That is God Himself. So you go to the joy giver, and you cry out to the Lord, and you say, Lord, help me. And by the way, just like He helped Peter while walking on the water, He can help you. Just like He helped those three Hebrew boys, as we talked about in the burning fiery furnace this morning, He can help you. Just like He helped Moses, as the Egyptians, that was that great army from Egypt, was closing in on him, and he faced the Red Sea, and God used him to be able to part that which was the Red Sea. I'm saying that, listen to me, God can help you. It doesn't matter what you're facing in your life. Those persecutions, you don't have to lose your song. All right? So did persecution destroy or discourage your singing? Statement number two, did that which is pain drown out your singing? You know, I know people that in the hospital, boy, they want to sing, but they don't feel like it. You know, when you're physically down, to be honest with you, you probably don't sing, or if you do, you don't sing as much. Sometimes when we're in physical pain, sometimes when we're in mental anguish, sometimes when it just seems like that we're not at our best, it's hard to sing. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 7, the Bible says that I should be exalted above measure. He says, unless I should be exalted above measure. Here's what Paul is saying. He said, unless I get lifted up with pride. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. It says, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He said it twice. He said, to help me not to become proud, to help me not to become cocky. He said, I was the one that God used to be able to present these revelations. He said, and unless I be exalted above measure, unless I think more highly of myself than what I should, here's what God did. God gave me a thorn in the flesh. He said, there's a reason that I have that thorn in the flesh. Now, please understand this. Don't always look at, well, I'll tell you what, I've got a thorn in the flesh because I am not right with God. Sometimes God will give you a thorn in the flesh just to keep you humble. Sometimes you'll go through the low times in your life because those low times in your life will help you look up better. Don't always look at it and say, well, I'll tell you what, somebody had a flat tire, must be God's judgment. Well, the washing machine, it broke, and so it must be God's judgment. Well, they had to go to the hospital. It must be God's judgment. Not necessarily true. It might be that God has given you the privilege to go through some things, because I tell you, in the valley, it's a whole lot easier to look up than it is when you have everything under control in your life. It's a whole lot easier to rely on God when you realize you have no other place to go than when you have all the answers yourself. You know, when you have all the answers yourself, you don't pray as much. When you've got all that you need and your needs are filled, you don't rely on God as much. So what happens? Sometimes when persecution comes, it discourages our singing. Sometimes when there is a pain, it drowns out the singing. You know, pain, conflicts, there's a conflict going on between the spirit and that which is the flesh. I watched Brother Williams as Brother Williams was preparing to go meet his Lord. And I watched him, and can I tell you, his spirit was willing, but his flesh was weak. Can I tell you, as he was getting ready to meet his Lord, he still wanted to get up out of bed. And several times did he get up out of bed and he put on his shirt and he put on his tie and he made preparation to come to the house of God. But the flesh said, no, can't do it. Sometimes you want to get up and go, but your get up and go has got up and gone. I watched older preachers. I watched Dr. Robertson as he got older. And Dr. Robertson never, he didn't like to fly. He just did not like to fly. And you asked him, you said, why don't you like to fly? He said, I don't trust the pilot. Well, don't you know, Dr. Robertson, that one day God is going to call you home? He said, well, I don't want to go home when God calls him home if he's flying a plane. So he drove everywhere he went. Now, here was a man in his 90s, driving everywhere they went. And I've never heard, now maybe you have, but I never heard him preach a message that was over 20, 25 minutes long. Never heard him preach a message. Now, you wish to the Lord that I was that way. The other day I preached, and Brother Jonathan, you know, of course, he puts all these things on the podcast, and he said, Daddy, he said, you preached over an hour. I said, well, I must have had a lot to say that night. All right? Now, by the way, I don't have that much to say tonight. But it could change. But did I don't want you to lose your song. I said, it could change. And Brother Jonathan said, I lost my song. But did persecution discourage your singing? You know, you have to be careful that being persecuted does not drown out your wonderful walk with the Lord. You have to be careful that you don't get poochie lip disease and say, well, God's just not working. Oh, he's working. He never ceases to work, but he might not be working the way you want him to work. You know, isn't it amazing how we want everything our way? Now, can I tell you, the closer you get to heaven, you're going to find out you don't get everything your way. The older you get, the more you find out you're not going to get everything your way. It's normally just the young bucks that get disappointed when things don't come their way. But the older and more mature we get, the more we realize that you don't get everything your way. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. We understand this, that you can have persecution come in your life, and it can discourage your singing. Step number one, did pain drown out your singing? You know, pain can cause you to complain. Pain can cause you to cry. Pain can cause you to have a conflict between your flesh and your spirit. That which is pain can bring Christ, if you would please, to his full strength inside of your life, and you can get the crown of glory because of that which is pain. But understand, I was Brother Crutcher, we're redoing that office over there, and so we have the same type of carpet that's in here that was left over, and so to save the church money, we're trying to put this carpet in there, and Brother Shade went in there, and he put that wall up, and Brother Yao was instrumental in doing work in there, and different ones, and Brother Bell has come up here, and Brother Garth Wilson has come up here, and teenagers have come up here, and there's been a lot of work that's gone in that office so far, and if I did not name your name, and you put time in, here's the blank, fill it in. But there's a lot of work that has gone into that office. I mean, a lot of work. Well, you know, one night I knew that carpet had to be moved out by the next morning, and it seemed like everybody was gone or everybody was busy, and so I went in there, and I thought, I can move that carpet. I can pick that one side up, and I can just pull it out, and we'll be okay. But boy, I bent over, and I picked that up, and when I went to pull it out, it pulled my back out. And for the next 3 days, I had to sit on one side because the other side was not cooperating. Now, can I tell you, and sitting in that office chair, now, I didn't bellyache, I didn't tell the staff, I didn't whine, I didn't do any of that, but I was careful how I was sitting. Because every time I sit differently, it pinched. And when it pinched, it hurt. Now, wait a minute, can I tell you, when it hurt, I didn't think about amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I didn't think about that. I didn't think about glory, 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 somebody. I didn't think about that. I didn't think about standing on the promises of Christ. I didn't think about nothing. I was trying to stand. I was just trying to sit. And every which way that I tried to sit, it hurt. Now, can I say this? Can I say that pain will drown out your singing? I heard about Brother Bachman. He was going into the hospital, and his wife had texted, Mrs. Fenton, that knows them well, had text. Brother Fenton had text me, just different ones had text me that knows Brother Bachman real well. And so these different texts was coming in, and I was getting bits and pieces of the story to find out what was happening. And he had that collapsed lung. Well, I called him up the other day, and I said, "Come on now, how are you?" And he said, "Oh, I tell you what," he said, "one of the most painful things I've ever had." He said, "And what happened, there was a hole in the bottom of my lung, and they don't know why. You know, I walked in, they said, 'You've been shot?'" He said, "No, I've not been shot." "Have you been stabbed?" "No, I haven't been stabbed." "Did you ever do drugs?" "Well, no, I've never done drugs." "Did you ever smoke?" "Well, no, I've never smoked." But for some strange reason, there was a hole in the bottom of his lung, and the thing just folded in. And so he could only breathe. And he said, "Boy, hardest thing in all the world." He said, "I was sitting there at night," and he said, "Robin and I were fellowshipping together," as his wife, "Robin and I were fellowshipping together, and boy, I just had trouble breathing." And he said, "I've been over and I had trouble breathing." And he said, "It got worse and worse and worse and worse. And finally, I looked at my son and said, 'Go tell mom to get ready. She's got to take me to the hospital now.'" He said, "Brother Wells, I was on the way to the hospital. I'll be honest with you," he said, "I thought I was going to die." He said, "I waited for 3 days with a collapsed lung." And he said, "I should have went sooner." He said, "But on the way to the hospital," he said, "I'm thinking in my mind, I'm going to die." Now, by the way, when you think the end is near, you don't sing. I was preaching up at Camp Doris in North Carolina the first time I think I've ever had kidney stones. And Edda, we love you in the Lord, but we feel for you. And kidney stones is not a pleasurable thing. And I never will forget, I had kidney stones. And I told Mrs. Welch, which was the camp director's wife, and Scott was the director. Now he's the pastor of that good church there. And But I told Mrs. Welch, came down, and she said, "Well, let me see, and what's wrong?" And so she kind of felt around a little bit, and she said, "Well, I don't know what it is, but maybe it's just something that we just need to care for, and you go to the hospital." And I said, "I don't like those hospitals. I don't. There's too many people running to the hospital for everything. I mean, you know, they got to sneeze, run to the hospital. You know, you got a hangnail, run to the hospital. You know, we live in a day where people live at hospitals." And I said, "I'll be okay. I'm preaching tonight. I've got a message on my heart. I know what God wants, and I'm going to preach tonight, and I'm praying that God will work in a mighty way. And so I'm not going to go to the hospital." About 3 hours later, I changed my mind. I told my wife, I said, go get Tina. So she went up and she got Tina. Well, it's the camp director's wife. And I said, "Go get Tina." And Tina came down. We got in that old camp van. Now, most camps that have vans, they're old. The shocks are all worn out. They use it to haul dogs or whatever during the week. They never keep them clean. And here I am. So Tina got behind the wheel. She's driving. Mrs. Wells is up there. I'm laying on that first seat. And boy, I tell you, I couldn't pray. I couldn't sing. All I said was, "Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Lord." That's all I could get out. "Lord." He knew his name was Lord, recognized by me. "Oh, Lord. Lord. Lord." Oh, I was hurting so bad. I go walking in the hospital. My wife is walking behind me, Mrs. Welch behind me. I go walking in the hospital, and a doctor saw me and started to cackle. He started slapping himself on his kneecap. He said, "I know what you got." I said, "Well, tell me what." He said, "You got kidney stones." I said, "I'm glad somebody thinks it's funny. Get me some help." And my wife scurried up and down the hallway trying to find me a wheelchair. Hospital, no wheelchair. Finally, she found a wheelchair, and I got in the wheelchair. Man, I sat there. It felt like 4 days. And that doctor finally came down smiling like a goober. Pushed me down into a private room, gave me a shot. Boy, thank God for shots. Man. Brother Boca used to go with me to our hospitals. We'd team up. We'd go to the hospitals. And you're going to have to pick this up. This has to be part of you. We go to the hospitals. And Brother Boakley, whenever they were given medicine that was like, you know, the good stuff, Brother Boakley would always say, give me some of that. Yeah, you say, you wonder why he was so happy. Because he's always saying, give me some of that. Now I'm saying, look, when persecution comes, when all of a sudden now there's a physical ailment, when the pain comes, it's hard to sing. Something else causes us to lose our song when people disturb your singing, when they interrupt your singing. Have you ever been having a good time and somebody says, oh, quit that? Quit that. Have you ever walked out, just had a nice shower, and boy, you were in rhythm and you were singing. You walked down into the living room and your wife said, leave it in the shower. Quit it. Now, that's never happened at my house, but has it happened at yours? But when somebody interrupts your singing, you know, it's hard to get back in the singing when somebody tries to steal your joy. John chapter 16, verse 22, the Bible says, and now ye therefore have sorrow. He says, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. So make sure that your joy comes from the Lord. You know, people can disrupt your singing. They can interrupt your singing. Sometimes it's because they lie on you. Sometimes it's because they leave you. Sometimes it's because they laugh about you. You're there doing it your best. And all of a sudden somebody looks over and they got that smile. It's like, yeah, you just missed every note and you don't know it. And they had that smile about them. By the way, put your eyes on the Lord. Put your eyes on God. Put your eyes on the Bible. Put your eyes on souls. Some comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Don't put your eyes on others. They'll let you down. You know, we are so, can I tell you, we are so personality driven in our society. We're not principle driven anymore. Everybody follows a personality, just like in your Sunday school lesson this morning. You know, some were of Apollos, and some was of that which was Paul, and some was of Peter, and some was of Jesus. And everybody had somebody in that Corinthian church that they said, well, you know, I'm following so-and-so. Stop it! Follow the Lord! Get yourself a Bible, open a Bible truth, and follow the Lord! You ought not have dress standards because somebody else has them. You ought to have them because they're of God. You ought not have a music standard because somebody else has it. You ought to have it because it's of God. What are you going to do when they die? You ought to be able to say, this is why I believe it, because it's in the Bible, and the Bible is true. Can I tell you tonight that you have to protect. You have to protect that which is your heart. You have to do that. The Bible talks about protecting it. Why? Because out of the heart comes all of that which is the diligent things, the issue-oriented things, the issues of life. And so he says to protect it with all diligence. Walk around it. And be careful about it. I'm saying this. I'm saying, did you know that persecution discourages your singing? Pain will drown out your singing. People will disrupt your singing. I'm hurrying here. Did you know that priorities displaced will interrupt your singing? You ever do something, you got out of step with God? And when you get out of step with God, you know you got out of step with God. You know you shouldn't have said that, but you said it anyway. You know you shouldn't have went there, but you went there anyway. You know you shouldn't have did it, but you did it anyway. And when you did, you know that what it did is it disjointed you from the Lord. You can tell when you're right with God and when you're not. There's an uneasy feeling that you live with. Hello? When you're not right with the Lord, when you're not right, if you would please, with your spouse, when you're not right with somebody else, all right, listen to me, there's a disjointedness there. There's an uneasy feeling. Now, can I tell you, you ought not be that way about the Lord or anybody. But you ought not be that way when it comes to your kinship and being obedient to the Lord in your life. Here's what happens when that takes place. Here's what the Bible says. Listen to it very carefully. The Bible says in Luke chapter 14 and verse 16, the Bible says, and then he said unto him, a certain man had made a great supper and bade many. So he made a supper and he said, I'm going to send out an invitation for all to come. Watch what happens in verse 17. The Bible says, and he sent the servant, it says, at the supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. He said, hey, come on now, it's ready. I lived on a farm for just the first 6 years of my life. Some of the stuff I do remember. Some of the stuff I remember because my grandmother rehearsed it in my ear after she sold the farm. And so I'm not really sure how much I remember or how much she remembered for me. But I remember her telling me stories. And I remember them telling that they had that triangle metal and had this little metal that would hold down, I guess sort of like to put inside of there, and they would ring that for the farm hands to come in. They had people that would work the farm, and when it came time, it was the dinner bell, and they would ring that for them to come in, and the workers that would work, they would eat over in the summer house. They wouldn't come into the main house, but there was meals there in the summer house, and they could go over, and that's where they cooked, that's where they did, and they were field crop, or they were workers, and so they would eat over there. All right, now wait a minute, watch this. And so that old dinner bell would ring. But when that dinner bell rang, we knew it was time to go to the house. Our stomachs got there long before we did. But we knew it was time for us to be able to go to the house. Now, can I say this? Can I say that when priorities are displaced, you will not give attention to the things that you're supposed to give attention to? I remember one time that Mr. Wagner, Paul was out there. We had a flat. Now, I do remember this. There's a flat trailer, and that's what they used to pile the hay up on. Of course, they rented out the farm, at least the farm. I moved off of the farm. They kept the farm until I was about 14, so I'd go back. But I remember one time that they had that flatbed type of a trailer behind the tractor, and that's where the hay was being piled up. And I remember one time the wheel messed up. And boy, they had to replace that wheel. And boy, the dinner bell was going off. And I remember they ignored that dinner bell. Now, because they ignored that dinner bell, can I tell you the food got cold? Can I tell you nobody waited? Because everybody was on a schedule. So if you ate, you ate late. And if you ate late, you didn't get the good meal. You ever show up for church late? Where's he at? Where's he at? Where's he at? Tell me where's at. I walked in late. Tell me where's that. You show up late, you don't get all of it. You ever hear that? The early bird gets the worm. But don't you like to get, you show up late and you say, somebody's sitting in my seat. Well, don't go up and stand beside them, make them feel uncomfortable. If you showed up late, you're sorry, you find another seat. Don't worry about somebody sitting in your seat. Now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. And so, wrong priorities. Luke chapter 14, verse 17, the Bible says, and the servant, the Bible says, it says the supper time is come. He says, he bid them come. And it says, come, it says, for all, it says, things are now ready. Now, watch what takes place in verse 18. And the Bible says, and they all with one accord began to make excuse. The first said, he says, I bought a piece of ground, and I needs go and see it. I pray the have me excused. He said, I've got to go take care of the stuff at the house. I've got a new land. I've got a priority because I bought this with my own money. Man, I bought this car with my own money. I got to go take it to the shop now. I've got to go down to the washing place now. Okay, wait a minute, watch this, verse 19. The Bible says, another said, he says, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. He says, and I must go and prove them, I pray. It says, thee have me excused. Another said, he says, I've married a wife. He says, and therefore I cannot come. Now watch this, watch this. Watch what it says here. The first one said this. He said, look, he said, I bought a piece of ground. I must go and see it. He says, I pray thee, have me excused. You get that? The second one said, he said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. He says, I must go and prove them. He says, I pray thee, have me excused. The other one says, he says, and another one said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. He didn't even ask for an excuse. He said, you ought to understand this. I'm not going to ask to be excused. I'm not coming. That's pretty good. Hope you have a husband like that one day. All right? And so I'm saying this. I'm saying that the priorities displace your singing. There was land and property displaced the song, a piece of ground. There was living and it displaced the 5 yoke of oxen. There was that which was a wife and it displaced the song. Well, I can't sing, preacher, because my wife and I, we got into a knockdown, drag-out, fussing fight. Okay, well, walk with the Lord. Go make things right with your wife. And get your song back. All right? You think about this. You know, here it was Jacob, and he said, Lord, I'm not going to let that angel go. I'm not going to let him go. I'm not going to let him go until he blesses me. Now, here's what happened. And the angel touched the thigh of Jacob. And the rest of Jacob's days, he walked with a limp. And every time he walked with that limp, he could remember the day that he wrestled with the angel of God. All right, now stay with me if you will. Did you know there are some things in your life that will displace you, and there's things that you'll have to carry with you the rest of the days of your life? I've been allergic to a degree, sometimes more, sometimes less. I can't put my finger on it, but sometimes I can take in some sugar, and sometimes I can't take in any sugar, and sometimes I'm taking sugar mildly. But years ago, I got allergic to sugar. That white, refined sugar. Now, wait a minute. Listen to me now. It displaced some things in my life. It displaced some things in my life. Sometimes I'll get pleurisy in my right lung. It'll displace some things in my life. Did you know that you'll have things that will displace you? Now, when those things displace you, if you're not careful about that, what will happen is, okay, well, I wanted to be a bus captain, and now I'm not. Don't let it displace you. Well, I wanted to teach that Sunday school class, and somebody else got it. Don't let that displace you. Well, I wanted to be the one to work a camera. No, I think the guy's behind the camera saying, I wish somebody else would want to work the camera. Well, I wanted to be an usher on the ground floor, and they stuck me in the balcony. Displaced. Displaced. Well, I married her when I wish I would have had her. Now, you better be careful that you don't do things that's going to come back and bite you. Hello? Boy, I tell you what. I know it's probably this way in every church. I know it is. I know it is. I know it is. I know it's probably this way in every church. I know it is. But you won't believe this. But I know it's this way in every church. You know, we have people in our church that gossip. Now, I know it's this way in every church. It's got to be. Because you can't be the only strange birds on the planet. But you know, we have people in our church that talk bad about other people, and they think that they're so right that they are floating in their self-justification. Self-righteous. I mean, they're walking like a peacock. And they're fluffing their own feathers. You know? And the weirdest thing about it is they really believe they're right. And boy, they're just walking around like a peacock. And then they'll get on the media stuff. I don't know what all the junk is that's out there, but they get on the media stuff. And they start slamming somebody else. And then they get offended if somebody comes back and slams them. Well, look, if you open your mouth, put your own foot in it. I remember when I first came to this church, somebody got on that, called Facebook. Yeah, somebody got on Facebook and they slammed me. Mrs. Magnin met me in the hallway. And here's what she said. She said, I heard that somebody slammed you. She said, I'll clean their plow. because nobody attacks my preacher. And I told Mrs. Magnan, I didn't know the woman, but I told Mrs. Magnan, settle down. Woo, settle down. I promise you, if I keep preaching the way I preach, there's going to be more of that to come. I mean, if I have to make people do right, I'm going to get criticized. All right, now, can I tell you, this become your job too. You will become my hate mail reader. Write that down, hate mail reader. It's funny, some of these guys, they'll bring me somebody write me a letter, they'll send me an email, and it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant. It's like, grill the preacher. I don't even read it. If I do read it, I'll get mad. And then sometimes I'll want to respond immediately, won't I? And here's what I tell Brother Palmore. I'll say, well, I'm not going to respond. I should. And yeah, and that's what he'll say. Come on, preacher. Do it, preacher. Every single time. Go sick him, preacher. You know, Brother Palmore's not good for me. And then I'll read it, and I'll say, well, I don't know whether to respond or not. Then I'll write a letter. Have you ever done this? Have you ever done this? I'll write a letter. Boy, and I feel good about it. And then a lot of times, more than not, now I have sent some, but a lot of times, more than not, I won't send it. It's in my file cabinet. When I die, I hope you read them all. No, I'm kidding. You'll notice one thing about me, though. Somebody goes wrong in the church. Can I help you about a philosophy? Somebody sins. They pull a dumb stunt. We've had some members that's pulled some really dumb stunts. But have you noticed I don't mention them from the pulpit? I don't call their name. I don't make them stand up. I don't smack them. Hello? Have you noticed I don't do that? You know, there's a reason I don't do that. Can I tell you the reason I don't do that? I think they deserve the right to retain what little integrity they have left, though it may be little, so that they can have a chance to come back and make things right without you knowing all the garbage. Because if you know all the garbage, can I tell you what you're going to do? Because you're flesh, every time you see that dear person walking down the hallway, you're going to judge them. Every single time, you're going to judge them. Every single time you see them walking down the hallway, you're going to smack them because that's your flesh. And most churches, just like our church, is not made up completely of spiritual people with halos. So I don't have the philosophy of it happens in my office on a Friday, it becomes a sermon on Sunday. I don't have that. By the way, some of you are still members of this church because I don't adhere to that philosophy. I don't know how many people have come to me in this church and have said, the reason I'm here is because you didn't smear me. And you gave me a second, are you listening to me, and a third, and a fourth chance. Hello. Now, if somebody comes after me, I'm still not going to smear them. You know why? Because I believe they deserve grace enough to be able to come back. But here's what you do. Hey, guys. Yeah, you too. Hey, guys, let's do this. Why don't you guys come over to my house? Let's have fellowship. Yeah. We'll sit around and eat watermelon with sea salt, make it healthy, and after that we eat cookies. Come on over. I need you to come over. We're going to have fellowship. And then but I have an ulterior motive. I get him over there and say, hey, let me tell you about something I heard. You want to hear it?
Yeah, tell us.
Oh, it's going to be good. This is the juice that's down under. You going to write it down?
I'm going to tweet it.
You going to tweet it? What are you going to do?
I'm going to memorize it.
You going to memorize it? You and me about the same age. All right. Okay. And then here's what we do. All it is a smear time. Well, let me tell you why I don't agree with the preacher. Well, let me tell you why I don't agree with Brother Crutcher. Man, how can you trust a guy that's bald? That Brother Jonathan, he's too young. Yet he gets to preach behind the pulpit, and that preacher knows good and well I could do better than him. Boy, I tell you, if I was the music director of the church, I'd do a total different job. That Brother Palmore thinks he knows everything about music. Well, he knows more than you do. That's why he's up here. Or at least the preacher thinks he does. That's why he's up here. Don't get mad at me, but that's all that matters. All right, now wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. And so what takes place is it becomes a smearing thing. Hey, come on, let's come on to my house and we'll play Christian cards. Christian cards. You like that one, didn't you? All right, now, okay, thank you, be seated. I'm saying this, you know, did priorities displace your singing? You know, when you have wrong priorities in your life, it displaces you. It really does. Before you know it, you've lost your joy. You have shared stuff that only God and that dear person was supposed to know, and you opened your flap jaw and took your big tongue out of your mouth. And you've hurt people. Now, may I say, listen, be careful about those priorities. Let me give you one last thing and I'm done. You ready? Did pollution destroy your singing? We live in such a polluted world. Let me give you 10. I'm done. Here I am. We'll go to the house. Psalm 51 and verse 2. The Bible says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. The Bible says in Psalm 51, in verse 12, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Uphold, it says, uphold me with a free spirit. With a free spirit. You know, you can come to my office. I promise you before the Lord, you can come to my office and you say, preacher, I need help with this. And with a free spirit, because I have one, I can say, let me show you some Bible principles that will help you. Hello? Because there's a free spirit. You know, it's not like you have a preacher tonight that he has stuffed shirt. Now, I'm not against preachers that preach that way. I'm not. I might get that way when I get old. I'm not there yet. But I'm not against preachers that walk to the pulpit rigid. And they put their Bible down rigid. And they stand behind the microphone rigid. I'm not against that. I thank God for every preacher that's doing anything. And there may be a day where I stand behind the pulpit. Boy, I remember Brother Stead's got vertigo right now. And I remember when I had that stuff in my life. And I remember, boy, I'd come up behind a pulpit and I was preaching around. And I'd have to hold on to the pulpit and the world was circling. I told Brother Stead this morning, I said, I feel for you because when you have vertigo, everything has to be planned. You have to plan the way you walk down the hallway because if not, you'll be walking like this. So you have to hold on to things when you walk down the hallway. Everything is planned. When you have vertigo, when I would preach, I'd have vertigo. I always have a pen in my hand. And when I preach a point, I'd check it off. Because I would forget what point I just preached. And so I'd check it off. I got vertigo tonight and I'm not checked off any yet. But I check it off. And so I check those things off. Okay? Now, wait a minute. Watch this. I'm saying, he said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He says, behold, it says, and behold me, it says, with a free spirit. Now, I'm saying this, that what can steal your song where you cannot sing in a strange land, and by the way, we need more people singing in a strange land. The world is lost and dying. People are dropping off into hell faster than you can blink your eyes. And may I say that we need people that have a song in a strange land. I like it when we go into a restaurant, and we were out eating with the Purvises today and had a wonderful meal and walked outside, and there was a man. He looked at me. I hadn't seen the man before. I didn't know the man. And he said, "Preacher, be careful of your step." I looked up at him, and I said, "Well, thank you very much." I don't know if he's ever seen me before. I have no idea. I never saw him before. But he recognized something there. We've been praying in restaurants before, and we pray in a restaurant and get up and ready to go leave and to pay the bill, and somebody had paid it with a little kind note that said, "I watched your family, and you must love the Lord because you prayed." I watched an older couple a couple weeks ago, and I was eating in a restaurant. I watched an older couple, and they're very tender. You know, it's really neat to watch older people. Really tender, you know, and he was sitting across the table and she was sitting over here, and they held hands across the table, and I thought, ooh, and they prayed and they asked God to bless them, and they weren't in a hurry. You know, our younger generation's in such a hurry. Dear Father, bless the food, amen. But this dear older couple, they held hands across the table and they bowed their head and they prayed a long time. Now, maybe it's because they were grateful, or maybe because they forgot their words. I don't know. But they prayed a long time, holding hands across the table. I got up and I went over and I said, "Do me a favor." I said, I like to be able to pay their bill. I said, "You know, and I want to give them a note." And I wrote a note on the back of the track, and I said, "Thank you for being a good testimony for our Lord." And I paid their bill. I said, "Look, when it comes time for them to come up and pay the bill, give them this gospel track and let them know there was a preacher watching them today. And I appreciate somebody that loves the Lord." Don't lose your song. Don't lose your song. When you're out in the business world, don't lose your song. You're walking down the street, don't lose your song. When you're going to the post office, don't lose your song. Don't look like you're not saved. Look more like you are saved. Smile a little bit. It won't hurt you. "Well, preacher, you don't know the problems I've got." I know something better than that. I know the God you serve. Don't lose your song.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.